This is OPB's Quick Take Northwest. Today is Friday, the 28th of March, 2008. I'm April Bear. I'm starting to think that winter is going to hold on to Oregon until somebody pries us from his cold, dead hands. Oregon and Washington, incidentally, have just gotten some late-season snow. Today in the Cascades, 6 to 11 inches of accumulation, with another 3 to 7 on the way over the weekend. Transportation officials in both states are extending the time that drivers can keep studded tires on their vehicles. The new deadline is April 5th to take off those studded tires or face a fine. Dave Thompson is a public affairs manager for ODOT. He says studded tires cause $40 million in damage to roads annually, and that ODOT can only repair about a quarter of that.
Typically, a repaving job will last 10 to 15 years, but if it's an area where studs are used in a preponderance of the use, then we're back in there in 7 to 10 instead.
Thompson says extending the deadline isn't unusual. He's urging drivers who use studs to buy traction tires or less damaging synthetic studded tires. In our news, the campaign for presidential contender Hillary Clinton is planning a stop in Medford in 2 weeks. Christian Fodenvenzel reports.
Ashland resident Milt Goldman, who's leading the Clinton campaign in Jackson County, is scouting locations for the New York senator's appearance during the week of April 6th. The event is expected to attract several thousand people. It could also feature former President Bill Clinton and daughter Chelsea. Clinton's opposition, Illinois Senator Barack Obama, made several stops along Oregon's I-5 corridor Friday and Saturday, attracting large crowds. Senator John McCain, the presumptive Republican nominee for president, is expected in Oregon later this year. All these high-profile visits come in a year when Oregon's May 20th primary was thought to be too late to matter. Christian Fodenvenzel, OPB News.
Three regional environmental groups have released a report that says global warming is hurting salmon recovery. Environmentalists say that they hope the information will be seen by the federal judge in charge of the government's salmon plan, the Sierra Club, Save Our Wild Salmon, and the Northwest Energy Coalition got together to pay for this report. Jim Martin is the former state chief of fisheries and the study's co-author. He says the findings support several policy changes. One of them is the removal of major blockades between salmon and Cold River headwaters. That includes the demolition of the four dams on the Snake River.
Before the four lower Snake River dams were built, snake salmon were actually the strongest in the Columbia. Now they're the weakest. These wonderful headwater areas are aces in the hole. We need to just simply use them most strategically.
Government and businesses say that dam removal isn't as surefire a solution as environmentalists claim. Federal agencies are expected to put together an important salmon recovery plan by May 5th. That plan would regulate Northwest salmon for the next decade. An Army battalion at Fort Lewis, Washington, is headed into Iraq for a third time. The 14th Combat Engineer Battalion, known as Rugged, is going to leave for northern Iraq in 2 weeks. These 430 soldiers will clear roadside bombs and do some construction work. Lieutenant Colonel Pete Helmlinger is the commander, and he spoke yesterday at a formal deployment ceremony.
40% of the soldiers before you today have been there before, either with this unit or with another. This is important work, and it is no secret that it is dangerous work. I know that we will make a difference.
During the last two deployments, the battalion lost 4 soldiers. This next tour of duty will last 15 months. The number of people who moved to Portland between 2006 and 2007 totaled 41,000 people, according to the Census Bureau. Phew, that's nearly a 2% growth rate, and one of the reasons economists think that the city's housing market held steady. During that same period, Bend grew by more than 3%. 5,000 people moved to Bend between 2006 and 2007, but economists say that might not be enough to help the region's home sales. Cindy Cook is the executive director of Central Oregon Housing Works, the regional housing authority, and she says that slower growth could eventually mean lower home prices. That might benefit people looking for affordable housing through her organization.
Will it come down as far as it needs to hit the target market that we're in? I haven't seen that yet.
Cook says families looking for affordable housing in the area need more homes priced between $170,000 and about $200,000. Greg Walden is the first Oregon member of Congress to put his earmark requests up on his website. $46 million worth of projects that he hopes the federal budget will end up sending to his district. As our Central Oregon correspondent Ethan Lindsay reports, despite Walden's transparency, the city of Bend is losing out.
Bend missed the deadline to submit the earmark requests. City recorder Patty Stell says she forgot to inform employees funding forms were due Monday. Three of the five Bend proposals didn't make it. That's $15 million that the Bend Airport and a key roads project will not see. The only reason the public knows about it is Walden's policy of posting earmark requests to the web. Gabriella Schneider is a spokeswoman for the Sunlight Foundation. The group supports making what Walden does voluntarily into a federal requirement.
It's not unique, but it is a rare thing. You know, citizens shouldn't have to rely on the kindness of members of Congress to know how they're spending our tax money.
The Sunlight Foundation says 40 House and Senate members put their earmarks online, but Walden's the only one from Oregon, though Democrat Earl Blumenauer says he plans to post his requests in the next few days. Ethan Lindsay, OPB News, Bend.
The city of Maupin has become the second in Oregon to lose its planning commission because of a financial disclosure law. Four of the panel's seven members have resigned because of a rule that requires them to submit a statement of economic interests to the State Government Ethics Commission. That many members leaving means the commission is without a quorum. The entire planning commission for the city of Elgin resigned earlier this month for the same reason. These statements that committee members are supposed to file identify source of income, also sources of income for their relatives and members of their household. They have to address property holdings, shared businesses with lobbyists, and certain other kinds of debt and investments. Maupin officials claim that the rules require too much information for people who serve on small town boards, who tend to be volunteers. Construction continues on the light rail project extension that's taking the MAX line out to Clackamas County. Thieves have found it, and how. Ever since the project began a year ago, they've taken more than $100,000 in tools, machinery, and building materials. Early last week, a trailer containing $30,000 worth of equipment for laying track was stolen. That trailer was outfitted with a GPS unit, though, so sheriff's deputies picked it up a few miles away. A few days later, a generator valued at $1,700 was stolen in broad daylight with a five-person crew working about 50 feet away. Deputies say that the thefts are most likely the work of transients for small items. The larger thefts are most likely the work of criminals involved in metals thefts to pay for drugs. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and the state of Oregon have announced an agreement giving state and local officials a bigger hand in developing wave technology. FERC officials say they're going to share a nearly unprecedented level of collaboration with the state. The new agreement acknowledges Oregon as a renewable energy leader. The paperwork on this will coordinate permitting of wave energy pilot projects on the Oregon coast and very likely speed them up. Scientists here would then monitor them. Mark Robinson directs the Energy Projects Office at FERC.
If it goes well, I would suspect that will be played out in Oregon with more projects that are protect the environment and produce the energy that we all need.
Robinson says that FERC will maintain ultimate authority over allowing new wave energy production. Both Robinson and Governor Ted Kulongoski's office agree that now FERC will look to Oregon for guidance on issues like protecting the coastal environment. In sports news, Golden State's Warriors bolstered their playoff position last night, beating the Portland Trail Blazers 111-95. In college action, Lake Oswego's Kevin Love scored a career-high 29 points, helping UCLA hold off Western Kentucky 88-78. Now UCLA will play Xavier in a trip to its third consecutive Final Four. And finally, construction of a pricey 6-mile track in Boardman, Oregon appears to be zooming right along. Correspondent Anna King reports.
The Pacific Northwest Motorsports Park broke ground last October. Since then, the park owners have built a major road and are awaiting the results of an earthquake test. They've also secured public approval to either tear down or build a bigger Boardman Airport on the park's property. It's billed as a country club for car enthusiasts, and a membership costs $30,000. Billie Jean Morris with the track says she can't disclose how many memberships have sold so far.
It's confidential. That's one of the things that we have promised our members, and we are limited to less than 500 members.
The park's NASCAR-style track, bleachers, and garages are expected to cost between $800 million and $1 billion and should be finished by the summer of 2009. The Racing Association hasn't given any indication it will host an event in Oregon. I'm Anna King in Richland.
Checking the forecast today, we've got rain, and yes, indeed, some snow in western Oregon today. First off, showers all over the valley and the coast, probably slacking off this afternoon. There's a snow advisory in effect until 1 o'clock this afternoon to the north end of the coast, covering Tillamook, Cannon Beach, Seaside, all the way up through Astoria. Snow levels 500 feet or less. Snow levels will also be quite low today on the Washington side of the Cascades, communities like Wind River and Cougar near Mount St. Helens. On the Oregon side of the Cascades, the snow level will only be 1,500 feet. Now, up near Government Camp, total accumulations will be 6 to 11 inches today, with another 3 to 7 inches of snow over the weekend. Western Oregon's temperatures today averaging around 45. For Central Oregon, 1 to 2 inches of fresh powder above 1,500 feet today. Temperatures from the upper 30s to the mid-40s. Watch for snow mixed with rain this afternoon. The Weather Service says we can expect rain and a little snow in the Eastern Gorge, especially east of Pendleton, highs in the mid-40s. And then the Eastern Oregon forecast is a patchwork quilt of snow showers with some scattered rain this afternoon, snow levels varying quite widely. You might say it's a little on the warm side, though, with average highs today in the low 40s. Mountainous region still in the 30s. That's it for the podcast today. Thanks for listening. Signing off, I'm April Baer.